Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices with Patty Barron. Today, I'm happy to be co-hosting with this segment with Nzinga Curry, AUSA's Education and Programs Director. Nzinga, thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
I am really excited that we are here today with Lieutenant General retired Raymond Mason, who is a Director of Army Emergency Relief. General Mason became the ninth director at AER on 1 January 2017. So, sir, you're coming up on an anniversary, it looks like.
Yep.
Following a 35-year career in the United States Army and a subsequent position as the Chief Operating Officer at VT Systems in Alexandria. Welcome, General Mason.
Well, it's great to be with you, Patty, and Nzinga. Thanks for having us. And I look forward to talking about AER today with your audience.
Fantastic. General Mason, you served in the Army for 35 years, which is a great career. What would you say is your biggest takeaway from your experiences with our soldiers?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing is 35 years went by pretty quick. In hindsight, you know, not every day was quick. But, you know, look, I grew up in an Army family. My dad served 30 years. And the reason I'm back in AER, because I just love being around soldiers and their families and the selfless service that they do and the honor that they're part of. You know, one of the things I say is the soldiers that are standing in our ranks today, great Army. I mean, best Army ever had. But, you know, they're the same soldiers that stood at Valley Forge, that fought the Civil War, that hit the beaches of Normandy. I mean, they're the same great Americans. And one of the amazing things about this generation, of course, is they're all volunteers. Every one of them raised their right hand to do something bigger than themselves, knowing full well that they would likely go into combat and may have to give that last full measure. And that just speaks volumes about them individually, but it also speaks volumes about our nation and how what a strong nation we are. We've got our challenges, certainly the political environment right now. We could go on about that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, American citizens stand up and do the right thing. And that's what our soldiers and their families do every day.
Excellent. So I thank you for your service and your continued service. And you certainly have been engaged in many missions and positions throughout your Army career, keeping Army strong. So now as the Director of Army Emergency Relief, you seem to be following that same path. Could you tell us a little bit about why you were inspired to join AER in 2017?
Yeah, first thing is I tell people that being the part of the AER team and being the director of AER is the second best job I ever had in my life. The first being a battalion commander in the 82nd Airborne Division. Tough to beat that. Absolutely, airborne all the way. But look, I joined ROTC in college. That started me off on the right foot. I was struggling a little bit as a student, to be honest with you, playing football and wasn't too focused on much else. But Army got me focused. My dad gave me some great guidance. But the Army gave me a lot, gave my wife and my kids a great life. And I want to give back. And so when General Foley, my predecessor, called me, I said, you know, that's exactly what I wanted to do. The job I was doing before was great, but this job, helping people, and that's why the 28 members of AER headquarters, but more importantly, the 220 AER officers in the field, every one of them is committed to that selfless service of helping soldiers and their families get through a tough spot.
See, that is awesome. So I am really interested in you sharing with our listeners the mission of AER and how soldiers can get involved through the enormous programs that you have for them.
Yeah, thanks. So we've been around 77 years, stood up in 1942, shortly after Pearl Harbor, by the Secretary of War at the time and the Chief of Staff of the Army, George Marshall. And the mission statement really hasn't changed since that point in time. It says to relieve financial distress on the force. And what that really translates to is combat readiness. Because if a soldier's distracted by something in their life, and in this case, finances, and we know, you know, that can cause a lot of pressure individually and certainly in the family. So if a soldier's distracted by financial challenges, they're not focused on their MOS training. They're not probably focused on their unit mission. And if we send them into combat, they're a danger to themselves and their buddies on their right and left. We want soldiers to go into combat laser focused on their mission, complete the mission successfully and come home safely to their loved ones so they can get ready for the next mission. And if they're distracted, that might not happen. So we're part of the solution. We're not the only part, but we're part of the solution of reducing or if not eliminating those financial distractions.
Right. That is powerful. That is commendable for AER. And I think I believe recently that soldiers no longer have to go through their chain of command. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is true, but there's some criteria inside of that. So one of the reasons we put that in place, the program is actually called Direct Access. The Sergeant Major of the Army was significantly involved in that. Our Board of Managers, and by the way, on our board is the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, Sergeant Major of the Army, as I mentioned, other command sergeants, majors, as well as officers, general officers. And we have spouses, the chief spouse, the Sergeant Major's spouse, retired spouses, other retired folks. General John Campbell will take over as the chairmanship on 1 January 2020. General Reimer has been our chairman for the past 10 years. We've had great leadership. We continue. My point in all that is they were involved in this decision. This was not a light decision to take because the point I always make is soldiers should go to their chain of command. It's the first place they should go when they've got a concern, they've got an issue, they need some help, they need some training. Go to your chain of command. However, sometimes that chain of command issue is a break in trust. There's other things that happen in soldiers. Sometimes there's a stigma of asking for help. They don't want their buddies to know about it. They're concerned about their chain of command knowing it. So we worked on this program. It's been around about 3 years. And basically what it says is a soldier of any rank can come to AER without their chain of command involvement. However, there's four safeguards inside of that. You can't use the direct access program when you're in individual entry training, basic and AIT. You're too new in the Army. You barely know how to lace your boots, right? That's certainly my case. You can still get AER, just got to go to your leadership. In your first 12 months in the Army, you cannot use direct access. Again, you need to, the idea of the Sergeant Major of the Army was the bond between the leader and the led. The third one is you can only use direct access twice in a 12-month period. If you have to come a third time to AER, which could happen, you really need to have chain of command involvement. There's something going on that you need some leadership to kind of put their arm around you. And fourth is when you come into AER, if the AERO determines you to be high risk for financial behavior, they're going to involve your chain of command. How do they do that? They look at your budget. They look at your cash to debt ratio. Are you bouncing checks? Have you defaulted loans? So that's all there to protect the soldier and to make sure the chain of command is involved when needed to be. Yeah. But if you meet that criteria, you could come to AER, get the support, and the chain of command would not be involved in those cases. So there's a certain amount of protection and privacy in that particular thing. But the bottom line is, and I tell all soldiers this, go to your chain of command. That's their mission. Right. But if there's an issue there, they're not comfortable, something like that, come to AER.
Good explanation.
And sir, I believe most AER offices are within the Army Community Services footprint, aren't they?
They absolutely are, Patty. Almost, I would say 100% of them are. And we, the ACS team that's there, Army Community Services, and the greater MCOM team, they are our most important strategic partners. All the 220 in the field are all employees of MCOM. They're kind of operationally under our control, but we could not do this without the MCOM ACS team, and the great garrison commanders and sergeant majors are out there charged with overseeing the AER program. Marvelous partnership.
And a great partnership between the financial readiness education and AER. I've seen that firsthand, and it seems to work fantastically well.
It's fundamental. So it's a little bit like the age-old adage, you can teach a person to fish or you can give them a fish. Yeah. In some ways, AER is giving them a fish. We're giving them some money. But in many, many cases, you also need to teach them to fish. So most of our AEROs are also certified financial advisors. Okay. And so there's no pre or post requisite to get AER to get financial counseling. But in many cases, soldiers do need that. And their chain of command can guide them to financial counseling. So I really highly encourage company commanders and first sergeants to have their soldier, and hopefully they bring their spouse, to sit down with one of our financial counselors and work their way through the budget. Just doing a budget is so illuminating.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you've been a guest at the Family Forums at the AOSA annual meeting.
That you guys run so well.
we really do appreciate you being there and giving the information that you do. And one question that seems to come up quite a bit is about the National Guard and how National Guardsmen and Reserve component can utilize AER services. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And by the way, we have four relief agencies. We have the Army Emergency Relief, Navy Marine Relief, which is combined. And then, we only have three. And then the Coast Guard. Oh, no, Air Force. How can I forget our Air Force brothers? Yeah.
Right.
So there are
my
four.
Husband will say,
yeah, exactly. Sorry about that. You know, really important. We all operate pretty close to the same in terms of Army and National Guard and Air Guard and all the different guards and reserves. We're fairly close. So when AER was first stood up, and probably for our first, most of the period of time of our history, a Reserve and National Guard were not eligible for AER, regardless of what their status was. Over time, we've changed that. Bottom line is, if you're an Army Guard Reserve, AGR, you're fully eligible. If you're a drilling or IMA, if they pull you onto active duty on the 31st day, you get Title 10 orders, you are eligible for AER, the full benefits of that, on the 31st day, as I said. And the other services are pretty close to that. One of the big things we do is we waive that 31-day requirement frequently. So if there's a natural disaster and there's a hurricane, ice storm, fires, like in California, the fires, probably the most recent example was a few years back when the hurricanes went through Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. People lost everything down there. We did about $3 million in assistance for Reserve and National Guard soldiers that were not on Title 10 orders. They were all grants, didn't have to pay them back. It was the right thing to do. I went down and visited shortly thereafter Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. I got to tell you, Virgin Islands, especially St. Croix, which I'd been to the harbor before on a cruise, but it looked like a nuclear bomb had gone off. And the stories were just absolutely gut-wrenching. It's the right thing to do. That's where we are. We'll continue to review this. And all the services work together on what's the right thing to do. Now, one of the fundamental underpinning philosophies of all the relief agencies is whatever financial situation you're in is an incident to service, not something that existed pre-service or exists in your civilian life, but it's an incident to service. Mm-hmm. And that's how we exist. And that's really how we look at all support.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. But kudos to you and the AER team for the support that you provided those folks. I'm sure it was very, very well received.
Oh, they were magnificent. We went down there and they just could not have been more appreciative. Wonderful people.
Yeah. And I'm going to go to one of my very favorite topics, and that's Army spouses. And you all have done quite a bit in reaching the community of military spouses and really supporting them in a lot of different ways. Can you talk a little bit about some of the programs specifically for that community?
Well, sure. First thing is, my mom's an Army spouse, right?
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
She guided me well. My wife, Patty, Army spouse. Yeah. So I get lots of good guides. One of the things people always say is, you don't reenlist a soldier, you reenlist a family. You know, now we don't want to ignore single soldiers. They're key to our Army and we have a lot of programs for them. But since you asked me about families and spouses, yeah, absolutely. And the Army is predominantly married, and so it's a family unit. We want to stick together and, have a great career. So a couple of programs that we've specifically focused on with spouses is, first one is recertification and relicensing for a spouse. You PCS from one state to another. Let's say you go from Fort Bragg out to Fort Lewis. The state of Washington has different requirements. Let's say you're a nurse. That can be pretty expensive to relicense and recertify. So we now provide that up to a $2,500 loan or grant. But by the way, everything in AER is based on need, although we have some things where we give a grant, and I'll describe that maybe a little bit later on. But for relicensing and recertification, it's up to $2,500 to help you with that. We have dental care for dependents, and that is a 50% loan or a 50% grant. So what that first amount of whatever cost that is, 50% of that, you're not going to have to pay back.
That's amazing.
The second 50% is based on need. We take a look at your budget. And that's for, crowns and root canals, those kinds of things. Not elective surgery, obviously. But that can help spouses out and families. We we just looked at adding helping for childcare. So the Army, the services have a program where you move to an installation, there's not enough room in the childcare facility. By the way, my daughter ran childcare facilities in Stuttgart for five years, part of the MCOM team. So, and I'm very proud of her. So you move to an installation, no room at the childcare center, you go onto a waiting list, you have to go off post. Now you've got cost that's being incurred. It's usually more expensive than on post. Yeah. The Army has a program for that. They provide dollars for that. We will provide up to $2,500 for the first 90 days. Mm-hmm. That gives you a chance per month. That gives you a chance to redo your budget, get yourself back and you know, kind of tighten the belt and figure out your priorities. But that, so that's going to help with that shock absorber of getting to a new installation, all of a sudden having this new bill that you didn't have before.
And is that a loan or is that a...
It'd be a loan, a grant, or a groan, believe it or not, that's the name,
okay.
Combination grant loan. So it's really needs-based, so we'll sit down and do your budget. And depending, you know, and let me just kind of describe how that works. So when we're doing the budget, let's say you're a married soldier, E4, with a child. And at the end of doing your budget, you've got about $600 in disposable income after you pay all your bills. If you have $600 or more, we'll begin to look at a loan. Because you could pay it back. If you have $600 or less, we begin to look at a grant. Because even though, what's the interest rate we charge? 0%. It could put a burden on you. So we're always balancing that. Some of that's based on the locale. You know, D.C. is a pretty high cost area, so $600 may not be the right thing. But our AEROs work through that budget. The other thing we do is we negotiate with the, discuss with the soldier the payback. You know, the average we do is about $100. You know, most common loan we do is a 15-month loan for $1,500. So they'll pay back $100 a month for 15 months. If they want to pay it back a little sooner, we'll rework that. If they want to pay it off, over a little bit longer time because they got some other things that happen, we'll work that too. It's all, you know, each case stands on its own. We work our way through it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's terrific. And I know that fee assistance program that the Army provides doesn't cover it all. And
right.
So being able to at least count on the first 90 days of some support is fantastic. I would also say that the support that you give our children is also incredible through the scholarship programs that you have as well. And I believe that the scholarship programs are also made available to military spouses. So correct me if I'm wrong.
No, absolutely. So our scholarship program is for both spouses and children. Every year we do about $9 to $10 million in scholarships across the Army. It ends up being around 4,000 plus scholarships. So for spouses, they can apply anytime during the year. Just go to our website, very easy, www.armyemergencyrelief.org. It's a .org organization. Pull down our application, pretty simple. A spouse has to carry at least 6 hours, but it could be online. And as long as it's an accredited organization, all good. We have a couple of our teammates that work the scholarships year round. And the average spouse scholarship is around $2,000 or so, give or take. Sometimes it'll be up to $2,500. Depends on how many people apply and what the board approves that year. The second one is for college-bound children. We want them to apply between January and April. Again, all kind of geared towards the fall semester.
So folks should really listen up here.
Right now, yeah, it's getting ready. That's right. It'll open up here on 1 January. Similar, same thing. Go to our website. Very simple. You do have to fill out what's called the FAFSA form, which is basically lays out the it's a federal form, lays out the family's budget. And so we base the scholarships on need. You know, once we look through and see what your cost for scholarship is, how much you could, your family can pay towards, I mean, how much your family can pay towards the tuition. And the average child scholarship is between $3,000 and $3,500 per year. And they can apply every year. And a child has to carry 12 hours and has to have at least keep a 2.0, which in my case would have been a little tough, but no, 2.0 is probably reasonable. We want them to make that commit. This is an incredible program. We do have one other scholarship program, which I think is really worth talking about. And it is absolutely inspiring. So we have what's called the Pentagon Victim Scholarship Fund. Any military family that lost their military member in the Pentagon, this fund pays for the full college education. If they get into Harvard, pays for it all. and for their full undergraduate, and we just opened it up for graduate degrees. So they can now, all those folks, we've had about 45 people that took advantage of this. They're all eligible. And it is just absolutely inspiring, and it's incredible. I'll just tell you one quick story. So Tammy LaCroix, that runs our program, and Angie Pratt, they're just two just absolutely big-hearted and wonderful women. Tammy comes to me and says that there's a lady who has a son who has autism. Their daughter went to college under this program, but he's never going to go to college. But they had a program where he could go live in during the week and come home on the weekends, and it would teach him life skills. And the mom was very concerned that, you know, when she's no longer around, what's going to happen to her son? So Tammy came to me and said, we want to do this. I said, Tammy, what do you? She says, yeah, we should do this. Even though it's not a traditional university type of education, makes sense. Yes. That's the kind of thing that makes you come to work every day, right?
That is awesome.
It is. It just makes your heart soar.
Yeah. I do want to, before we go on, I do want to say and point out that it really is a case-by-case basis. And I've heard you and so many others tell me that even if you don't think you qualify, you should still go to AER and talk to them, because there's going to be a way that they can help you, whether it's pointing you in the right direction or providing funding or whatnot.
Patty, you're spot on. That's exactly right. When in doubt, come to AER. You know, we've got over 30 categories of assistance. We couldn't possibly think of all the things that can happen in people's lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, the most common thing is car repair. That's kind of one or two in most installations. The second is rent and deposit on rent. Mm-hmm. But we have, you know, furniture, appliances, PCS costs, insurance deductibles. Let's say you have a real high deductible, had a car accident or house fire, and now you've got this huge deductible you got to pay. We can help with that. Absolutely. Come to AER, sit down with the AERO, talk through. Each case stands on its own merit, and we'll work our way through it, and we're very open. We 99% of the people that walk into AER end up getting a loan or a grant walking out. That is, I'm not making up that number. That's the number.
That's awesome. I must say that I have been just touched by your conversation and just sharing all that AER has to offer. Are there any other programs that you would like to discuss and share with our listeners?
Sure. I would say the single most important program we have, which is our flagship program, is called the Quick Assist Program. This is where any company commander or first sergeant in the Army can approve a loan up to $2,000 off their signature. Soldier's car breaks down. Let's say it's $1,500. They go in to see the company commander or first sergeant, sit down. Within a short amount of time, it could be 15 minutes, 30 minutes. You know, the company commander or first sergeant could approve that loan, go down and see the AERO and walk out with a check. That simple. Many installations significantly use this. So one of my missions I've also got as I travel around the Army is I always meet with company commanders and first sergeants. I talk about what a powerful tool you have. The second thing I would say that's so important is emergency leave. Emergency leave is the single most important thing we do. It's not what happens most often, thank God. But so emergency leave, there's a serious illness or, God forbid, a death in the military member or the spouse, some people don't realize that, of their immediate family. So mom, dad, brother, sister, or step situation. And they need to get home. And so 2 years ago, the board approved for all emergency leave to be a 50% grant and a 50% loan. Never go below 50% grant. So the costs you incur for travel, hotels, food, for you and your family to get back home to take care of, you know, your loved ones, 50% of that, you're never going to have to repay. The other 50% is then worked. Could be 100% grant, depending on your individual financial situation. I mean, you've raised your hand to get in the Army. You've left your immediate family back wherever. We got to get you home. It's the right thing to do. So, you know, making sure soldiers all know about that.
And I do really hope that our listeners understand that AER is there for you.
Absolutely.
Whether you're a single soldier, a married soldier, a family member, you know, don't not go to AER because you're thinking that it's for someone that's in dire straits. If you've got even a small problem, go talk to AER because they can help you with an awful lot of things. And so my last question I would say before we run out of time, sir, is as you think towards the future, is there a special project or idea that you have in mind that you'd really like to develop, or is there a way that you would like our listeners to get back to you about some ideas that they might have?
Sure. I mean, what you said again is so important, because one of the challenges we got is we're a little bit of a victim of our name, Army Emergency Relief.
Right.
You know, and so people think, well, unless the house is burning down and I'm on the edge of my, you know, financial situation, I can't go to AER. Not true. As you said very clearly, both of you, come to AER. We'll work our way through that. So really, as I'll kind of end where I started, which is information. So we have really expanded our footprint in the social media. We would ask all the organizations across the Army, as well as leaders and units and family readiness groups and garrison commanders and sergeant majors, everybody that kind of owns a social media platform, help us, like us, spread our word. We'll spread the word for you. AUSA, we're part of your guys' team. So because again, the goal is to make sure the one thing that keeps me up at night in this great job that I've got, this great profession, is there's some soldier or family member out there that's hurting and doesn't know about us. And you know, if that soldier gets taken care of and we put our arm around them and the leadership puts their arm around them, they might grow up to be the Sergeant Major of the Army someday. I mean, somebody's going to be the Sergeant Major of the Army in 20 years, right? It might be this private that's there struggling with a financial problem. So that's what keeps me up at night. That's what we're focused on. Sure, donations, you know, our motto is soldiers helping soldiers. So reaching in your back pocket, helping your buddy on your left and right is really important. What do soldiers fight for? Each other. And that bond of leave no comrade behind on the battlefield is equally important. Leave no comrade behind back at home station. So those are what we're really trying to get to, and make us a even more strong, Army strong team.
Absolutely.
And we're part of that solution.
Absolutely.
Well, sir, I knew you were going to be a fantastic
guest. Well, thank you.
And
absolutely.
You did not disappoint whatsoever. Mm. Thank you so very much for being with us. And I hope that you'll think about coming back again. And certainly we'll be seeing you at annual meeting, I hope.
Absolutely. I've been a member of AUSA since 1978. So
awesome. That's
absolutely.
Nice. That's 41 a big one.
There you go.
We've come to the end of our podcast episode. To all our listeners, thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Keep it locked here for all Army Matters and for next week's episode featuring thought leaders with our very own Joe Craig, AUSA's book program director. Happy New Year, everyone. 2020, here we come.
Yeah, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all. God bless you all. Army strong.